imagination, and go on. Let's get right into this one. Let's get right. Expecting big. Scripture tonight is Philippians 4 and 19. Philippians 4, 19. Philippians 4 and 19. And it reads, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And my God shall meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Expecting something big. Tonight, three things. Three things we're going to pull out of this. The first one, when we talk expecting something big, it's abnormal to besides me expecting something big. Understand this, that there's a difference between wanting something big and expecting something big.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That wanting something big. Let me go back. I didn't move too far. Let me go back. Expecting something big. There's a difference. The difference between wanting something big and expecting something big is that when you're expecting it, you're looking for it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know how it's coming. But you do know that it's going to come. You don't want it. Because wanting it means I desire it. But when you're expecting it, it means that no matter what's going on, I'm looking for it. It's on the way. It's on the way. This season of expectation for something big has to push us beyond the middle of the road thought process of seeming small is okay. If you ever wanted to seem like everything was all right, it's going to be fine. I'm not going to worry about it. Not going to stress about it. Why? Because everything's fine.
All right.
Everything's cool. I'm not going to stress about being better. I'm not going to want nobody to make me better. I'm not going to force nothing to happen that's going to improve my life situation. Why? Because I'm fine. But when you expecting something, it's the difference between wanting a check and expecting a check.
All right.
Raising in the Sun taught us that. If it didn't teach us nothing else, it taught us the one thing, the check in the mail.
Yeah.
If you don't do nothing, you check the mail for the check.
Yeah.
Why? Because the check in the mail. Yeah. Why is it in the mail? Because I'm expecting something.
All right.
I'm looking for it.
Right.
You can't tell me it's coming. You can't lie to me and say it ain't came because I'm expecting it. It's not going to surprise me when it show up because I'm expecting it. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this expectation, this expectation of something big. three things. The first thing is a personal connection. That's the first two words. My God. We discussed this Sunday that you can't expect big. You can't look for big. You can't desire big if you don't have a relationship with God. The days are gone and over where you can have this great, grandioso thought process of your life and feeling like everything is going to be all right if you don't have a relationship with God. God makes it big. Because my God. He's not your God that you can keep away from me. See, this is the amazing thing about God is that he can be my God and he can be Jesse's God at the same time. Mm-hmm. But he can't be Jesse's God without being my.
All right.
Why? Because he's my God. And my God.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of the text. If you don't have to catch nothing else, you'll never expect something big if you don't appreciate that he's my God.
All right.
Well, he keeps saying my God. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it for a little while longer because at the end of the day, there's nothing else more important than you realizing that you got to have a personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Well, don't take all that. Don't take all that for your relationship.
All right.
But for my relationship, you got to show me some love.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. We learned on Jerry Maguire. He had to show him the money.
Yeah.
Show him money. Sure. No, I don't need to. I can't remember the name of the movie, but they were saying how Chuck Berry and his manager were sitting there, and the man told the manager, I'm going to make you rich. Looked at Chuck Berry and said, I'm going to make you famous. Mm-hmm. Chuck Berry said, oh, we need to switch spots. No, I don't need to be famous. I nobody knowing me. Show me
the money.
Because if you know what you're there for, relationship brings you closer because you'll be clear about exactly what you want. Because having people call your name means one thing if you ain't got what you really showed up for. Mm-hmm. Sunday night, I watched the unsung Drew Hill. I had never seen it before. Didn't know much about the group besides the hits that they put out. Helped make my childhood. I was for it. Let's go for it. Found out the deal they signed so bad that they had a management company, a distribution company, and a record label. And of the group, when you went to buy an album, of the dollar that the group got, they had to split it four ways. Mm. Watch this. But they weren't even mad about that. Because they just like making music. They said, that's fine. It's our first deal. We're going to understand. We understand what we had to go through. We'll figure that thing out. So then they signed with somebody else. Second, people said, look, what we're going to do is going to get y'all a better deal. But then what we're going to do until y'all get out of that one, we're going to give you a guarantee for solo albums for everybody. But we can't get y'all out that deal. And they showed up. Most people don't know that Drew Hill had a song on the Wild Wild West album soundtrack. They showed up to the recording, Taj, and in the recording, they put Cisco in the front and the rest of the group in the back. Mm. One of the singers' name was Mark, got mad, and in the middle of the shoot, quit the group. Mm. Now, nobody asked Cisco, who told you to get out? In the interview, he said, they pulled Cisco up front. Cisco didn't want to be up there. Y'all trying to figure out where I'm going with it. because people will cause distinction between you, and it ain't even the folks that you mad at for. Somebody else saw something in him and said, come on up. And he got mad at him for what somebody else seen in him. So he left and went did his own. He's released the gospel album. Nobody here know a song on it. Why? Because if you don't have personal connection. See, the Bible says this. This is what the Bible says. One can chase 1,000.
All right.
Two can chase 10,000. The problem is that most of us okay chasing our 1,000.
Yeah.
And we refuse connection to get the 10s. Because we say, look what I done did by myself. And you can't expect big because you can't get personal relationship because you want to be in control of who name they call. But this ain't about me because Aunt Micah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I got it. The first thing about this understanding of the personal connection is that the my God is spoken to the Godhead. Godhead, the Trinity, the Godhead, the three in one. It's literally just not talking about God, the one who reigns and rules. It's talking of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's literally talking about that there's a connection between all three. And when you call on them, that you don't have to singly know which one you need to perform what you need at the moment. Because if you got relationship, you got connection.
All right.
And it ain't always talking about what you can do. Sometimes it's about who you know.
All right, that's true.
Because I tell people all the time, it's a lot of stuff I can get done, but I don't do it. I know a guy.
All right.
And I might have to know a guy that know a guy, but I do know a guy. I was sitting down, and somebody was mentioning some of the stuff that they needed at their church, and they were telling me that they needed some sound system stuff done, and I was asking what did they need done, and they were trying to show me, then they were trying to say that they needed some lights as well, and some fabrics and all that stuff. I was decent at the beginning of the audio.
All right.
But 3 to 4 minutes into the audio conversation, I was maxed out of my knowledge.
All right.
Then they started talking lights. I don't know nothing about lights. No, I don't know besides plugging them up. And they were showing me how they wanted them to change colors and how they knew somebody that had the lights, that they would change colors, that they would shoot up the wall. And they, dude, I said, I wanted them. But I know a guy.
All right.
Watch this. But when you call him, tell him I sent you.
All right.
Because I got a personal connection.
All right.
If you call him out the blue, his price is going to be one thing. But if you call and say, I sent you.
All right.
He got you.
All right.
I'm talking about. Now, they didn't have to know the person I sent them to.
Yeah.
They just knew me.
Yeah.
All right.
I figured you would know somebody. I know somebody. Now, I don't know how to do it. Guess what, y'all? I'm not showing up when they put them in. Mm-hmm. And I have zero intention of learning it. Because that ain't my area.
All right.
Spoken to the Godhead, it is my God. See, this excites me because this phrase is what I got saved on. Because I've always been taught as a child that God was so big, he was so big, he was so powerful. And I was sitting in the back of a choir sentage and the pastor preached about my God. I don't remember the sermon, don't remember the scripture he preached from, don't remember what he talked about, but I remember when he finished, I had the understanding that that big old God cared about little old
me. All right.
So I can get stuck there all day.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, no matter how big God is to you,
yeah,
he care about
me.
Okay, I got Bible verse 4. Ephesians 6 and 7. Ephesians 6 and 7. Ephesians. I'm sorry, Exodus. Huh? It's all the E. I've been trying to get the Ephesians all day. Exodus 6 and 7. At least I put the right one in there. Exodus 7. Somebody got that? Quote that for me. Somebody read that for me.
I will take you as my own people and will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians.
And I will be
your God.
I will take you as my own people, and I will be. Okay. I like how this is stated in the King James. It says, "And you, I will be your God, and you will be my people." It makes more sense for him to be our God than it does for us to be his people. Mm-hmm. Understand this, that literally the statement of my God is really amazing to us as non-Jewish descendants. Because we are what they call outside of the ark of safety. We didn't get it until Jesus, because he had a chosen people that was selected and saved and set apart just for his relationship with them. And Jesus came and said, I'm doing it for the world. And in Acts, the disciples had a whole fight about could the Gentiles get salvation through Jesus, because Peter had a dream on the roof.
Yeah.
Came down, had a conversation and an argument with the rest of the disciples. And the problem was that they started fighting, and Peter started telling them what happened. And then they was like, I don't know if we really believe you, Peter. We wasn't there.
Yeah.
This is how the Gentiles got to be able to be a part of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that this is how the rest after Acts, the rest of the book becomes important. Okay, all of the letters that's wrote in the New Testament are wrote to Gentiles.
Yeah.
They weren't wrote to the Jews. The Jews knew it. Because Jesus didn't come to change anything. He came to fulfill
it. All right,
all
right.
Yeah.
So they had been taught the law from birth.
Mm-hmm.
To fulfill the bar mitzvah, they had to be able to answer any questions about the Pentateuch, the first five.
What's the Bible?
All right.
And they about memorized that by 13.
Yeah.
Gentiles came in saying, well, we get out of that. Well, you get the same thing they get.
Yeah.
That's why this my God is so important.
Yeah.
Because before Acts, you couldn't call him your God.
Yeah.
That wasn't for you. That was for them.
All right.
Any questions? I'm on it tonight. I know I'm talking about expecting big. You can't have a personal relationship if you don't understand the price that was paid.
All right.
Before you was a part of the price. Nobody asked what happened to the Gentiles. No Gentile voted to kill Jesus. The Jews did.
Yeah.
Just he was in Jerusalem. He wasn't in Egypt. He was in the land of the Jews.
Yeah.
Their homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they killed him at. They called the vote. Who you want? Barabbas? Jesus. They say it.
They say it. All right.
Wow.
They
say it.
Give us Barabbas.
Yeah, they say it.
Everybody want to vote. They voted. All of it. Say aye. Aye. Kill Jesus. Everybody want to vote at church now. It was a vote that got us. A dead Jesus.
My God.
Wow. Day of Pentecost. They up there. They in the upper room, man. Praising it on one accord. The Jews are all getting ready to pay homage to the festival. It's a Jewish festival. It's not a worldly renowned festival. It's for the Jews. And they got filled with the Spirit, started speaking in unknown tongues. Suddenly, Acts 2.
Yeah.
That wasn't for the Jews. So I want us to catch this, that when in Acts, when they leave the upper room, and around Acts 11, Acts 12, when Peter tells them, hey, we need to give the same thing to the Jews and the Gentiles, the Gentiles have no understanding of what y'all talking about. Because what they knew about Jesus was a real good teacher.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right.
Well, I heard about him. Mm-hmm. Heard stories about him, open and blind to that. But guess what? He was as popular as John the Baptist. Mm. Yeah. And they ain't heard of Moses. Y'all looked up to Moses for what he did for your people. Did that for us. We wasn't in Egypt needing to get out. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I'm trying to explain to you the significance of my God. Because if you're expecting something big, you have to understand how this became your God. Because most of us are here because we were nurtured into him being our God.
Yeah.
You're nurtured. You're raised. You're in nursery. You were raised up to be believe that he was your God. Because somebody told you as a child and they kept telling you. Faith comes by hearing. You believed it. So.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. I don't know how people serve another God. They probably were brought up to believe that that was their God. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Just why we feel like college kids are crazy because they go out and then watch this. Somebody indoctrinates them with more information than what they got at home. Because they got secondhand smoke at home. Now somebody giving them direct contact. And it's lightening up some senses in their brain because what you taught them wasn't.
All right.
And they ain't read past chapter 1.
Amen.
And somebody else over there with the back of the book. And you talking about, and my God. Hey, my God. I think I like the wise teachings of Buddha. He teaches us to be a moral person and live right. And what's the difference between what you're asking me and what he's asking me? I don't have to go to church for Buddha.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Y'all don't talk with me. I'm saying that. And my God, there's a price that has been paid. That's why we can't take the cross of Christ haphazardly. Because it meant something.
Yeah.
That was no more blood sacrifices required after the cross.
All right, yeah.
Okay, blood sacrifice. There was a sacrifice in Exodus that they would do every year. The atonement. They would every atonement. They would atone to pay for sins. It was a term to make equal. They would to make it right. It was to every year they would have an atonement. But just what they would do is they would take two goats and they would put the blood on one goat and kill the other goat, and the blood would go on altar. But the other goat would go free, and they would call that the scapegoat.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the blood would go on one of them, but every year, and then the priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Was the only time he was able to go. It was once a year. The priest, once a year. Moses went whenever he wanted to.
Yeah.
Let that go. Mm-hmm. The high priest went once a year. He would go into the Holy of Holies with the blood, and then when he would come out, they knew that their sins had been forgiven. If he still had sin on him, he would die.
Yeah.
They would have these the stuff around him, bells and fruit around the bottom of his stuff and a rope around his waist, which is why you see the priests that preach with the robes on have a rope around their waist to signify that the rope that would pull the priest out. Because if you're never not right as a priest, you ought to be able to be pulled out. Yeah, y'all don't talk to me. So they would be in the holies of holies, and if they wasn't right, the bells would be jingling, but it wouldn't be a loud racket. It would just be enough to let you know that he was still alive.
Yeah.
If he ever stopped making noise, they'd pull him out because they would swear he was dead.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see in the hole. Because if you peeked in, You die.
Yeah, yeah.
What was in Holy of Holies? Y'all, we did the temple. Holy of Holies, nothing was in there but the ark. Mm-hmm. The mercy seat and the presence of God. Yeah. So you couldn't go in there without having it right.
Yeah.
Because he's not.
All right.
This is why the cross is so important, because the Bible says that when Jesus was on the cross, when the earth shook, the veil rent from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
What veil? It was the veil that separated the holiest of holies from the holy place.
Yeah.
So when you went into the holy place, which was the inner courts, you were able to see into the holiest of holies, which meant what? That there was no more need for an atonement.
Yeah.
You could approach the throne whenever you...
Yes. All right. All
that's why we don't have a confessional or a priest that has to come in and atone. That's why I don't take confessions.
All right.
Amen.
I was going to go on a tangent right there. I don't need to know all your business. I need to know the categories so I know what to pray for. All but right. The specifics you can take to the grave because the blood has covered it.
All right.
Why? Because he's mine.
All right.
Why y'all making this hard on me to know more? Taj, there's a personal relationship. He's mine. He can't be y'all God. See, the problem is that historically, they would have their gods, and then we could have our own gods. So when they decided not to be specific as us and make up gods for everything, because we had a God for everything.
Yeah.
No, we had the God for fertility. We had the God for daylight, we had the God for nighttime, we had the God for death. So that's what the stuff would come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we would make all of this stuff make sense, but it really never should have made sense because it was never accurate.
Amen.
Because it was ungodly.
Yeah.
So when they had a God that would come in, that when the storm, with the hurricanes would come, they said the God of the ocean was upset, so he would cause a... And we said, we don't need all them God. We got one. Taj, we got one. And he's so powerful, and we so messed up, that when we messed up, we couldn't go to him. He had to get his son to come to...
All right.
And he didn't create something new. What he did was he stepped in and changed what we already did and said, you'll never have to do that again.
Yeah.
Ain't no animal gonna be as good as this here blood.
All right.
God told me to kill myself. No, he didn't. God don't require blood sacrifice. Mm. God don't ask for you to do that to yourself. Why? Because the sacrifice has already been... But you don't know that if you got a bad understanding of the scripture.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one of this one is the benefit of salvation.
That's
it's some benefits of it.
All right.
What's the benefit? He's my God. Ain't no more benefit besides him being your God. If you want him to be something spectacular, impressive, motivational, understand the fact that he is your God. It's the benefit of salvation, Todd. You can't do nothing without it.
Amen.
Just it's the benefit package to the job.
Yeah.
It's the insurance.
Yeah.
He comes along with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I watched something this morning that disturbed me because it was a question of who goes to heaven and hell. And there's no lifestyle that requires hell besides lack of salvation.
Mm. All right.
Hello.
If you confess with your mouth,
yep.
Believe in your heart, come on. Didn't say if you don't do this type of sin.
No, I don't.
Y'all mad at me now? Mm-hmm. So they go in heaven. You going?
No.
Any questions?
Say that again.
Everybody going to heaven that's saved. If they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, they go into heaven. Why? Because that's the only requirements for salvation. the only one. Ain't no contingency plan. Ain't no extra parts of it. Ain't no I believed it because I heard it all my life. Because the Bible is very clear in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth and believe that Jesus was, then you shall be. Y'all don't want to believe me. I got time. This Bible study. Let's turn to it. See, y'all done been, what that man said? What the Muslims used to say? Hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Come on, somebody. Y'all been hoodwinked. What is it? Romans 10. Is it 10? Man, of all times, the preacher don't know. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be
saved.
Benefit of salvation?
That's it.
I know that. Come on, that's what they acting like. They can't hear me. Because they've been told if your people going to hell. No, they not. Not if they saved. As Paul say, more saved than some of you. Paul says that I'm saved, more saved than most. Come on. We got question time. I ain't got to go nowhere else tonight.
Okay.
Let's go.
Because I know you said the other point.
Mm-hmm.
Carlton Pearson.
Uh-huh. Carlton Pearson say everybody going to heaven.
Ain't that the same thing?
No, that ain't what I just said. No, I say you got to confess and believe.
I'm saying everybody.
Carlton say everybody going to heaven.
But, okay.
No, I'm saying the only requirement for heaven is confession with your mouth and believing in your heart. Carlton say everybody going to heaven. Live as crazy as you want to. Don't go to church. Don't believe nothing. Because Jesus died to save everybody. That's universalism. He didn't make that up. That was long before him. Come on. This is Bible study. I'd like questions tonight. Because I can do this, finish this next week.
I guess my big thing. So.
Just. This is your train of thought.
She whispered it too. Because I told her no. So he came to whisper and tell me she could do it. Anyway, it kind of got my thoughts off. Anyway, confessing with your mouth, believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people feel
mm-hmm.
that, you know, oh, I could just, you know, say that I'm saved, and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm, you know, live on this earth, you know, treat other people however I want to. Not based off scripture to me, that's not confessing and believing in your heart. I think a lot of people miss believe in your heart, miss that second step. Because you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. It sounds so easy, but me believing in my heart is a continual salvation process, meaning I'm not perfect. But as I walk through this Christian journey, as I, you know, I come to church, I learn, like, how to live, I learn requirements, and I'm working myself through a salvation process that's continual, but in my heart, I'm always trying to aim to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's what confessing, I can confess it with my mouth because I'm aiming for this mark, and I believe this in my heart, so I'm trying every day versus, I mean, honestly, I have preacher friends that say, I mean, preach, have churches and be like, I'm saved. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart. I mean, people falling on the ground, crying, giving their life to Christ. And they're just, don't, you know, they have no moral standards. It's crazy, but I just see, you know, the Bible, I can kind of argue it however I want. You know what I mean? I can say, you know, confess and believe, you know, or I can get on the side that I know I'm on, and I see supportive scriptures like, you know the truth, the truth by the fruit it bears. You know what I mean? People who's trying to walk this faith thing out, you know, you struggle daily, but you're not perfect in this faith walk. However, you're trying. So what is your stance? I know you're talking about your personal connection with God and just, you know, bigger, because you even started it a little bit Sunday about this is all about our relationship with God, not bigger just having things, but more per se with God. How do you, what do you look for?
In what? In
the benefits of salvation. Like,
I don't look for anything. This is what I, let me explain to you what I look for. Two parts of this. If I was preaching it, I wouldn't have a third point. It ain't really got to. I mean, if I wanted to, I'd have to pull the third one out of somewhere and, you know, we'd shout about it. But it's really ain't but two in Romans 10 and 9. First point would be confession. Y'all with me? If you declare with your mouth, that's confession.
Okay.
My second point would be conversion.
Okay.
And believe the first one is why I asked you to come up and join church. Why I don't let you fill out a piece of paper in the back. Why I don't let you raise your hand and figure out if you want to join the church. Have you called me traditional on that aspect? Certain stuff I'm just going to do because I feel like at some point you ought to confess. The physical sign of your confession is your coming forward.
All right.
So I don't go get people, Taj. I've been to churches where they go get you. Mm-hmm. You've been coming. We want you to come. No. When are you ready? We here.
Amen.
Because the first thing you got to do is confess. So that's the part that concerns me. The other part is between you and God. That's the conversion. Because believing in your heart makes you do certain stuff.
All right.
And that's the other stuff that you were talking about. Yes, ma'am.
If you confess with your mouth.
Uh-huh.
And you believe.
Uh-huh.
You shall be.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to first
believe. But that ain't me. But see, understand this. That the weight of the matter isn't decided until death. Salvation, your true belief system of whether you believe it or not, is not determined until death.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets your name in the book when you double check yourself.
Yeah.
That's why the old saints would say it's going to be a lot of people surprised they don't make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't really believe it. They confessed it.
They
said it. But understand this, that believing it in your heart turns the corner for a lot of stuff.
All right.
Because it becomes some stuff. Now, it might be some stuff you wouldn't do if you believed. They might do. And still believe. But because I believe, watch this. I'm going to go out first lady because she went and quoted scripture on me. So I'm going to prove how scripture. No. But I'm saying,
okay.
I'm going to go, because that's where I was going with it. Because conversion makes you give legitimacy to the scripture.
Right.
That you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears.
Yeah.
Now, how do you know that you're a Christian? Because I do Christian things.
All right.
Because you can come join the church. We can put you to work. You cuss everybody out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one way to
you still say you're a member of the church. You cause all kinds of hell in church. Y'all don't talk to me. Everybody just thought of somebody right then.
Yeah.
They go to church every Sunday and just a hell raiser.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But confession and conversion aren't twins.
No, right.
They're relatives.
Mm.
They don't go together. Not immediately. They don't look alike. When you walk up and say, I want to be a part of this church. Okay, that's confession. Because you confess, you believe that Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. You believe that? Cool, gotcha. You been baptized? Yes. So I was sign of inward change. Bam. Conversion normally happens later down the line. Because that's when you start changing how you do some stuff. Because you start realizing what it means that if God raised Jesus from the dead, he's that kind of powerful God that Jesus is still alive over 2,000 years ago. He's still alive. What kind of a God is that? I need to do something about that. I need to learn something about him. I need to experience something big. I'm expecting something big from a God like that. If God is that big, I shouldn't be living small. Why? Because I've been converted. Why? Because he's my God. Y'all, come on, y'all. Questions? Y'all got more questions? Come on, let's go. Now understand this. I'm not an evangelical. It's a lot of questions I don't know the answer to, and I ain't gonna know it until I get to heaven. So if I don't know, y'all come with these trick ones. I'm gonna tell you, I don't know.
No trick question.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, you said this doesn't happen as far as the heart that you believed it in your heart until the end, till you die.
It's not judged.
Judged.
Right.
But so you can't live any kind of way and go to heaven.
Not in belief. You can't live any kind of way and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Because there should be some things that because you believe.
But the believing that God raised Jesus from the dead believes that he's now your God.
Yeah, which makes you not.
Well, makes you start act better and start living for God. Because now I have the benefits of salvation. So I start doing different stuff because I believe in the relationship I got on the cross.
Yes.
That was stamped with the empty tomb.
Which is where the word of God comes in.
That's what. Now I'm tied into the word that now has power in my life because now the employee manual matters to me because I'm an employee of the king. I'm sorry, I'm a citizen of the kingdom. Let me be analogy correct. I'm a citizen. Well, Donald Lawrence, we got benefits. You don't know the benefit package until you start reading the book. So that's what believing in your heart does. It buys you the relationship.
But then after you get the benefits of the citizenship, the more you know, that's when we become the son and daughters.
No, you are a son and daughter with the conversion. You just learn the benefits of being a son and a daughter. See, understanding this, that all of this is immediate at conversion. Your little mind got to catch up with everything that you're getting. Which is why you come to church every Sunday. To get some more of the package. Because I forgot some of it. Why? Because I got weary and got wrapped up in what I got going on right now. And then I came to church and he said, you ought to be expecting something big. But I keep living in small. Well, I should be looking for big. I'm looking for big when I keep getting small situations. Because I got a big God. Well, that big God can't be over there. Because I believe that he raised Jesus from the dead. And now he my brother. And my daddy going to look out for me. Why? Because he loved me. How much he loved me? He loved me enough to send his son. But how you know that? Because I had to read the book. Because with the resurrection of Christ, it becomes personal. Now my spiritual connection. But watch this. Because I keep learning about my spiritual connection, I quit worrying about what they had and whether they was going to make the cut. Because I need to be learning some more for me. So when I keep thinking, well, they should have been here to hear that, I stop thinking that and say, I'm glad I was here to hear that.
All right.
Why? Because I confessed and I believe that something was going to happen. What was going to happen? I don't know. When it was going to happen? I don't know. Well, how you know it's going to happen? Because he's my God.
All right.
You can't go all the way in the middle. See, that's why I said this is the most important part of this whole scripture. And my God. He's mine. Salvation made him mine. But you might have a relationship with him too, but he's something different to me.
All right.
So I tell everybody that your relationship with God can't be mirrored of my relationship with God because you ain't been through what I've been through. Mm-hmm. You not me. Mm-hmm. I can tell you about him as general, but I'll never get specific about what he is to me. Because when I start telling you specifically who God is to me, then you're going to start knowing all my business. Because then I'm going to tell you what he brought me from.
All right.
And what he brought me through. And how he kept me anointed when I was a fool. And I thought that the walls was coming in on me, and I had to figure out how. But then he showed me that he had the power to get me out of that situation. Well, what did he show you? That he had the power to handle whatever situation you're in. Because if he could raise a dead Jesus.
All right.
What I'm dealing with ain't that doggone bad. Because if whatever I'm dealing with, it ain't dead.
Yeah.
No, Jesus was dead.
Yeah.
Jesus was executed. He wasn't just dead. He was executed. Mm-hmm. Jesus, understand that Jesus died on death row. They sentenced him to death and killed him.
Yeah.
It was a successful verdict.
Yeah.
The man in Alabama was killed. If they seen him walking in Alabama today, it'd be a whole different kind of situation. Y'all don't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
He should have got pardoned. He didn't do it. All that. All that sound cute. If you see him walking down Alameda Genoa today. Jesus was killed on the cross to their eyes. We understand through the writing of the Gospels and him revealing the truth to the end of the story that's wrote in the Gospels that he gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
That's pretty on the other side.
Yeah.
But watching it,
exactly.
He died. Come on,
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
It was one of the most gruesome deaths.
Yes.
Even today,
yeah,
the Romans were known, if they knew for them for nothing else, they knew how to kill people.
Yeah.
Or they would tie you to four horses and put each limb and then slap them on the butt. And they would just all take off running. It'd be all right. It's one of the best ones I got. It ain't breaking. They would all take off running to split your body in four different pieces. They had another machine for the men, Taj, that they would put weights on each one of your legs and sit you on this triangular thing and drop the weights, and it'll split you literally from the rooter to the. If they didn't know nothing, they knew how to kill people. Jesus died. They were so good at killing people, they had a mechanism to check to make sure he was dead.
Yeah.
Wait, and then they ain't just want to kill you. They wanted to kill you and do it in a timely manner.
Well,
so if they put you on the cross and you stayed alive too long, they break your knees.
Yeah.
Then you stayed alive too long because understand that you were hung on the cross and they would have the nails in your wrist and you'd be trying to hold your weight up and you'd have to, the little block would push your feet up to keep your balance, because your ligaments would be, gravity was literally what was killing you.
Yeah.
So they would break your knees so you couldn't push yourself.
Yeah.
And then if you had the willpower to stay alive too long, they would stick you in the side and let your blood start draining. Because they would stick you in the heart. Because they had enough anatomy to know where your heart was. They would stick the javelin through your heart and pull it out and watch the. When they got ready to break his knees, the earth shook.
Mm-hmm.
So when they stuck him in the side, some water and blood came out of it. Because scientists say, scientifically, he should have died on the whipping post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The body should have been gone.
Yeah. Because
they beat him.
Bad. Yes.
Well, how is he still alive? Because at the end of the day, he had to get to the cross. Why he had to get to the cross? Because it was over 4,000 years before that he was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me go back all the way to Galatians. The lamb was slain before the creation of the world. Before there was an earth, there was a cross that was prophesied that he had to die on.
Yeah.
And all of that wins us
salvation
to get him to be. Any more questions? I ain't going no farther. This is all I got tonight. I think that's enough. Because we keep trying to act as if he's so grand that he don't hear your prayers, but he's your God.
Yeah.
And your God should at least hear your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
even if he don't ask it the way you think he should.
All right.
Because he's my God. Any more questions? Yes, sir.
They have 10 commandments.
Uh-huh.
They should not be broke.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But understand that the Ten Commandments are like the task test in school. This is the minimum standard. this is the minimum of what you shouldn't do. You know how low you got to be to want to kill somebody? Understand that the first one was the most important. He says, I'm a jealous God. Don't put other God before me. The rest of them really become easy once you get that one down. Mm. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Pretty easy tonight. You got Big Bertha saying that, so you ain't really worried about Big Bertha? I'm sorry.
Not Big
Bertha. Am I making sense? I mean, I'm just...
Big
Bertha. It's a...
Jesus.
But understanding that those were given again to the children of Israel. How do you know that people will live their life doing just fine without the Ten Commandments? Because it was only given to Israel.
Yeah.
The Gentiles, which is literally anybody that were not Jews, didn't get the Ten Commandments. And they lived all of them years in harmony with the Israelites. Without the Ten Commandments. Because there's a bare minimum. They were the laws that instituted your being a citizen of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't do this. Now, y'all can't do this. This is the entrance exam. You can't do it.
Yes.
Leave your neighbor wife alone. And don't be killing people. Now, if they cut you off, don't be... They ain't say you couldn't shoot them the finger. You can't. Don't pull out your gun. Don't be... Am I making sense? Now, if you can't do one without the other, don't do neither. Don't. But if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Understand this, that your witness can stop other people from believing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was driving the other day. I got upset. Rolled down my window and said some stuff. I meant it from the bottom of my heart.
Fast and believe.
I was out there. Dude had walked across the street. He waving at me because I'm, I went off. I'm on the phone and got a car full of kids. Just looking. They just like. I'm shocked everybody. People on the phone and... That ain't good confession, Reverend. I heard Bishop Morton was saying he was driving in Atlanta. He had a little sports car. He was flying. So he got ready and the lady cut him off and he was chasing her down because he was going to tell her about herself. They got to the red light and he rolled down his window. She rolled down her window. She said, hey, Bishop. He said, because your confession can be them Ten Commandments again. And the problem is that most people use the Ten Commandments as their rule of measurement for at least I don't break them. Mm-hmm. When they really the floor, not your ceiling. I slapped you, but I could have killed you. That's not how we just really work, brother. Can we? We not just... And understand this. God gave them 10. They made up like 300.
Yeah.
That some of y'all still keep today. Some of that stuff they made up, y'all keeping today because y'all thought it was God's law. No, they made that up. They came up with a whole bunch of don't wear them mixed clothing. Well, eat shrimp, fish with shell. It's all in the Bible. They came up with all that. God said, Jesus said all that stuff was too much. Jesus took the 10 and said, just do what? Love. You love yourself. You got love, you cover the rest of that. Mm-hmm. Well, what does love come in? Believing in your heart. If you believe, then you'll love each other.
Yeah.
Because if you watch it, because if you start, if you confess your mouth, and this is the last part I'm gonna say about this, unless y'all got some more questions. You confess with your mouth, and then you believe in your heart, then when you start believing, then you realize that we all become brothers and sisters. And why would you do that to your brother or sister? When we do community events, I'm very nice to people. Why? Because you're a representation of the kingdom. You wouldn't want people to think that God reflects that. I'm having a bad day. You don't want God, kingdom to reflect. Because sometimes the only God people see is you. And then the only God they remember is the bad representation. Come on. They've been in church in 3 years, and one time they go, you told them to get out your seat.
Yeah.
Now they can't come back to church for 10 more years and gonna die in 7. Now they done went to hell because they couldn't hear a sermon because they could never hear it from your seat. Because you sit down. They ain't bought the seat. They ain't put in on the seat. Sunday we was raising money for seats. You wasn't here. Come on, somebody. Any other questions? I'm through. I ain't going nowhere, farther.